Hey everyone, it's Colin. How's it going? Flip phones need to stay dead. If you've followed the trends with smartphones these days, at least over like the last year or so, you've probably heard the stories about this new crop of phones that's starting to kind of trickle out into the market that harken back to the flip phones from like the 90s and early 2000s. Ostensibly, this is manufacturers' attempt at trying to make big phones that are physically smaller. They are exactly as you think they are. They're flip phones. They fold in half. But the big difference is, unlike the older style of flip phones, where they didn't have any smarts to them, that this was back in the days when they were called cell phones and not smartphones, these new ones have screens on both halves. So the whole idea is, instead of having a 6.5-inch phone that is 6.5 inches diagonally all in one big slab, you can fold it in half and make it more compact. And if you know nothing other than just that concept, you would think, well, that's a fantastic idea, right? Because phones keep getting bigger and people want bigger phones as smartphones have become more and more people's like primary computing device, given their power and how all of the internet tasks that we do these days generally can be done from a smartphone, at least kind of your everyday life type of tasks. So you think, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I want a big phone, but I don't have room in my pocket for it. So if it can fold up and be smaller, that's great. Here's the problem, though. There are limits as to what they can do. You know, conceptually, you think, well, okay, you fold a 6.5-inch phone in half, and now the folded up phone is only 3.25 inches diagonally, right? It's like half the size. But that's not taking the three-dimensionality of the phone into account. You still need to have stuff inside the phone. It's not just the screen, right? You need a motherboard, and you need a battery, and you need speakers and cameras and all of the other features that people want out of a smartphone. Where are you going to put them? Well, you have to put them behind the display, just like where they are on normal phones. And it's really crazy just how relatively thin modern smartphones are, given all the technology that gets packed into them. It's almost become a trope where phones just keep getting thinner and thinner every year. And we take it all for granted and we kind of laugh about it, right? They're able to shave a millimeter off on the thickness of the phone, and they're touting it like it's this big, gigantic thing, and everyone kind of laughs like, I don't know why you're making such a big deal about this. It's only a millimeter, right? No one's going to notice it in their pocket. But when you think about the actual engineering that goes into shaving that millimeter off in the thickness of a regular smartphone, there's actually a lot at play there. And that partially is why the Galaxy Note 7 got into such, you know, a mess, why that phone was literally a dumpster fire, because they just tried to pack too much technology into too confined of a space. So when they're able to do that successfully, it's a big deal. Here's the thing with the flip phones, though, the modern ones, these new style smart flip phones. Phones like Motorola's new Razr, which actually looks remarkably like the original Razr, but obviously you open it up and it's just all screen. Or Samsung's newest phone, the Galaxy Z Flip, which kind of has that same, you know, fold up type of style. It's trying to push aside kind of the laws of physics in a way. I mean, you can't defeat them, right? But they're taking, like I said, that whole three-dimensionality and not really thinking about it. And the problem is with these phones, yeah, they get physically smaller, but they get twice as thick. And it doesn't really matter how much thickness they're going to be able to shave off of each half of the phone, you know, that whole millimeter at a time every year that we've been seeing with regular phones. They have to do it twice as much now, because a phone that's, say, 8 millimeters thick, that's a normal smartphone, is now double that, plus a little more because of the kind of air gap that you normally end up with between the two halves when the phone is closed. So let's just say, you know, a normal 8 millimeter thick phone turned into a flip phone would end up being oh, I don't know, 18 millimeters, 19 millimeters, kind of including that gap, you know, for the hinge. And a lot of these phones that we've seen, because of the display technology, they can't fold perfectly flat, right? There has to be kind of that air gap between the two halves, especially on the hinge side, because you can't really fold the screen over on itself quite that tightly. And that's where I think this whole crop of flip phones is kind of dumb. Because, yeah, it's taking a big phone and folding it in half to make its footprint smaller, but who's going to want to put that in their pocket, right? I mean, there, I think, is kind of an acceptable thickness to a phone that people will be willing to put in, say, like the front pocket of their jeans. But I'm already starting to even kind of notice when phones have been starting to get thicker again. I upgraded to an iPhone 11 Pro Max. I wasn't really planning on doing it. I was hoping to wait out for another year, but I wanted the new camera, and my existing phone had already, you know, been over 2 years old. So I figured, okay, let's just do it. The 11 Pro Max is thicker than the previous phone I had, which was an iPhone 8 Plus. And it's only a couple millimeters, right? It's a fraction thicker than the old phone. But I can notice it in my pocket. I picked it up and I immediately could tell this phone is thicker. Now, of course, there's benefits to that. It's got just a massive amount of battery life to it. I don't think I've ever run the thing down lower than 50%. And that's using it all day. But, you know, the thickness, it's something I notice when the phone's in my pocket now. So to go to double that thickness with a flip phone, even though it may be physically half the size, it's like, imagine taking a Game Boy Advance SP and sticking that in your front pocket. You're going to notice it. And other people are going to notice it because it's going to be bulging out of your pocket like that. Because of the slab size and shape of traditional smartphones, they work really well with the way we use them. And I think along those lines, I mean, it's worth going back to the history of flip phones. They started, of course, back in like late 80s, early 90s as a way to make phones more compact. Back when the original phones, like the Dynatac, if you ever remember, you know, what they call the Zach Morris phone from Saved by the Bell, the earliest cell phones that weren't briefcase sized, they were big bricks. They were like walkie-talkies. There was no way you were going to stick one of those in your pocket. And because of that giant size, everyone wanted miniaturization like you wouldn't believe. There was a time period through the 90s where that was the end goal, was to just shrink the phone smaller and smaller and smaller. And I kind of got caught up in that too. My very first cell phone was from, when did I get it? 98 or 99, somewhere in there. And it was a Motorola StarTAC. And that was, for a long time, the smallest cell phone that you could buy. And it was a flip phone. And it worked really well because of its small footprint. But the reason why it worked as a flip phone was not necessarily because of its dimensions and its compactness, but it worked because of the way we actually used phones back then. We used them as phones because that's pretty much all most of them could do. You would open it up and the screen would only be on one half, and then on the bottom half, you'd have the number pad for dialing numbers. And the earliest phones, in fact, I would say most of the phones through the 90s, cell phones, that's all you could do would be to dial numbers. You were lucky if you got a phone that had maybe a bitmap display on it and things like an address book or a calculator or some other kind of really basic but utility types of features to them. This was long before you could get data on a phone or apps or anything like that. If you wanted to text message someone, you had to do so through the number pad, you know, where you had like ABC on one button and DEF on the next button, and you'd have to, you know, press buttons multiple times to get to the letter you want. It was really slow going, you know, so you'd send really short messages and you wouldn't be doing it very often just because it was kind of cumbersome. Flip phones worked back then simply because we didn't use our phones so much and we used them for relatively few things. It was more just to be there in case we needed it, and not this constant companion like smartphones have become today. I mean, look around. When someone is bored, you're standing in the checkout line at the supermarket, or you're waiting for your meal at a restaurant, what is everyone doing? They're on their phone. I don't think that would have been a thing back in the 90s. And we didn't see that back in the 90s simply because phones didn't do so much. What are you going to do? Like press random buttons on your phone? No. So of course you wanted your flip phone to be as compact as possible to fit in your pocket just in case you got a phone call or needed to place one. So that compactness made a lot of sense. And of course, back then we didn't necessarily need them to be in super easy reach. So we'd more often than not throw them in a bag. Or if you were a guy, you'd get like one of those, what we now consider super dorky, like belt clips or something like that. You wouldn't even really put your phone in your pocket just because the thing was a brick in one way or another. But now, with the frequent use of phones, more and more people are putting them in their pocket. They want them physically close to themselves for easy access in case they get a notification or need to look something up or simply are bored and want to quickly pull out and start playing a game or checking Twitter or whatever. And so the form factor really matters from that everyday use perspective. Now, I'm not trying to completely shit all over the idea of new technology within smartphones. I'm constantly amazed by where we've gone with phones and their capabilities and how smartphones have pretty much single-handedly killed off entire other market segments like portable music players and point-and-shoot digital cameras. I mean, the amount of technology that we've packed into such relatively small devices in such a relatively short period of time is just crazy. But it's that whole usability thing. They've really kind of perfected the size and shape of phones. And I don't think it's so much that they designed the phones that way and we've adapted, as it's been more of a meeting in the middle, right? Phones got thinner to make them easier to put like in our pockets and hold in our hands and have as that constant companion. And now, yeah, phones are maybe slightly thicker just to increase battery life, but there's limits. They're not willing to make phones super thick again to put gigantic batteries in them. We're reaching, I don't want to necessarily say peak smartphone in general, but we're reaching really, I think, the peak of design for a usable smartphone. And that's what I fear with this whole rise or potential rise of new flip smartphones, is that they're not thinking about the usability. They're coming up with this new form factor as a way to sell new phones because the manufacturers feel like they're reaching peak smartphones. They're hungry for growth. They always are hungry for growth. They want to see those blockbuster sales year after year, where every year's phone, you know, every time they come up with a new one, it sells more than the previous year. And I think the manufacturers just need to come to grips with the fact that those days are numbered, if not past us already. And it's going to be other technologies and other features that are going to continue to drive sales, but not necessarily growth in smartphones. I think we're kind of at the point where everybody who wants a smartphone already has one. I don't think that's a market where there are still holdouts, where it's still this relatively new technology and there are people who, well, you know, I've been fine with my old dumb phone for so long, maybe I ride it out for another year and then think about a smartphone. No, that's not the case. They've been out long enough and they've become so ubiquitous. I mean, I'm not even sure of any carriers here in the US that still sell non-smartphones. I think if you walked into any of the major carrier stores and say, I don't have a phone, I need to buy one, but I don't have very much money, they would just sell you a really inexpensive smartphone. I kind of think that's where we're at. So any growth, any continued sales are going to be what they call replacement sales, where you're not selling a smartphone to someone who's never had one before, you're trying to replace a phone that someone already has. And I think this new form factor is trying. I think, you know, like in the case of Motorola and Samsung, I think they're just trying to do something different for the sake of it being different, to maybe drive sales that way, to try and get those types of phones to be trendy, to get people to want to upgrade to them instead of continuing on with the traditional kind of slab sized and shaped phones that we have already. Now, the technology in these flip phones, this new crop of flip phones, I'm going to admit is actually really interesting. I mean, there's the mechanical part of it with physically opening and closing the phone, and that's one of my concerns as well, right? I mean, with a traditional like slab smartphone, there aren't any moving parts really. I mean, other than I guess the buttons on the side. They're almost entirely sealed devices now. In fact, there are rumors saying that in a year or two, Apple may even dump any ports off of the iPhone lineup. Like, just instead of replacing Lightning with something else like USB-C, just straight up taking away all the ports. And everything needs to get done wirelessly on that phone. I mean, we're heading that direction where they are as simplified in their mechanical design as they could possibly be. And these flip phones are like the reverse of that. So I worry, even if these flip phones do become popular, are they going to hold up to how frequently people use them? I mean, think about how often you pull your phone out of your pocket and look at it for a few seconds to a few minutes and then put it away. I do that constantly when, you know, I get a notification or I need to check something or whatever. I'm never spending large amounts of time in front of my phone in one shot. It's all broken up into these small, quick interactions, and then I put the phone away again. So if I have to unfold and refold that phone every time I need to use it, well, a flip phone isn't going to last very long. The hinge, I don't think, is going to hold out. And along with that hinge, you've also got things like the display. Now, the display technology, this whole foldable display technology, is fascinating to me. Not necessarily just because of the actual display panel itself being foldable. I mean, we've had that for a few years now. Like Samsung is a great example. They've had phones where the sides of the display kind of taper down the sides of the phone. They call it Infinity Edge or something like that. Galaxy Edge, the term for that is escaping me. But that's the idea, is the LCD or OLED membrane itself can contort. And that's really cool and lends itself to a lot of options. But what really kind of blows my mind is that they've got to put some sort of protective layer on the outside of that display. Now, there's some late breaking news as I'm recording this episode about the Galaxy Z Flip from Samsung, where Samsung said it's a foldable glass display. And if you look at it from just the marketing copy, that's mind-blowing, right? Because glass is generally maybe a little bendy, a little bit, but if you bend it too much, it's going to crack and shatter and break. But from their marketing copy, it sounded like they had actually come up with some form of, or whatever manufacturer they partnered with, had come up with some form of highly flexible, bendable glass. And if that was really true, that would be a game changer just from like that materials science point of view. Now, unfortunately, some of the headlines that I'm reading, even some as soon as to, you know, the day that I'm recording this, suggest that maybe the material they're using and touting as glass isn't really as durable as you would think. There's apparently some sort of plastic protective layer on the outside of that as well that's very prone to scratching. And apparently even the entire like display sandwich itself of that outer plastic and whatever they're calling glass before the display matrix itself, well, it's not the most durable thing. It's prone to, you know, to damage. But flip phones, I think, are a great occasion of technology that I want to exist, but I intentionally don't want to become popular. I want them to exist solely for the purpose of trying to drive like material science and other forms of technology forward, right? The research that goes into these things can lead to other involvements. And we've seen this actually many times. Personally, I would be frustrated by having to carry around this thing that's now over twice as thick, and I have to physically open it and close it every time I really want to use it. But if it can lead to other advancements that can benefit other forms of technology, maybe if they can come up with ways to make the flip cell phones thinner, well, those technologies could probably trickle into regular smartphones and other forms of devices too, to increase battery density. That whole foldable, bendable glass thing sounds pretty cool to me. I can think of a bunch of really cool uses for that in a wide variety of technologies. And so while, yeah, I think flip phones themselves need to stay dead, in some ways, I hope that maybe there's just enough success in this crop of phones that come out to really help the manufacturers justify continuing to put more R&D dollars into the technology behind them. Thanks for listening.